Our first reading today is from the Old Testament, the book of Moses, chapter 34, 29 through 35. Hear now this reading from the Holy Scripture. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. From the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, for the Word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from the 9th chapter of Luke, verses 28 through 43. As we celebrate the transfiguration of the Lord today, we will hear this story as recorded in the Gospel according to Luke. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. But on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. And just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." And suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." And Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. One gloomy winter day a few years ago, I was walking along a sidewalk in the Washington, D.C. neighborhood where I was a pastor. And I was thinking about some things that were going on in my life at the time, and I was feeling kind of down. I was actually on the verge of depression. And you know how it is when you seem to be stuck in a situation until it becomes a problem to be solved, and you keep mulling it over and over and looking for answers, and the answers don't come, and you just get deeper and deeper into the problem. That's where I was, mulling over my problems. I was walking along the sidewalk, and then I heard a voice. Now, it wasn't a voice from heaven. It was a neighbor across the street. And he yelled out, "Hey! Hey! Andy!" I looked around and I saw it was the neighbor, make sure it wasn't God. And when he knew that I knew it was him, he shouted, "Why so depressed?" "What do you mean?" I shot back. "Oh, nothing. You just look kind of sad walking along there." Wow. Was it that obvious? Then I did what so many of us often do when the whole truth is way too cumbersome for the immediate situation. I told a little lie that wasn't totally true. "Well, maybe it's just the weather. I'm ready for spring to be here." And then we shouted small talk back and forth across the street about the weather. And the neighbor's parting words to me were, "Cheer up!" I said, "Thanks." And you know, I already felt better. We just heard two pretty strange stories about Moses and Jesus on mountaintops with their faces all aglow. Now, let's admit it, these are strange stories. I have a little quip, and it's a whole different sermon, but when it comes to religion, we're all kind of weird from the outside. Have you noticed that? We don't notice the strangeness of our own religion, but those other people are strange. Now, these are some pretty strange stories here of Moses and Jesus and their faces shining. And what I would like to do this morning, I wonder if when we can peel back all the layers of traditional interpretation, ritual and religion that encumbers these two stories, that what we have at the core of these two stories are stories about two people discovering who they really are. And then others seeing this in them. And in turn, discovering who they really are. Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Merton. He was a very prolific writer in his day. But his home was at the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky. And one day, while on a rare trip away from the Abbey into the city of Louisville for a doctor's appointment, while standing on a street corner, he discovered who he was, along with everybody else that he saw. And the account of this epiphany of Merton's, who, by the way, his 100th birthday would have been last Sunday. But the account of his epiphany is recorded in his book, Conjectures of a Guilty Bystander. It goes like this. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. I realized that I have the immense joy of being a member of the human race in which God becomes incarnate. As if the sorrows and the stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me, now I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. And I wonder if the transfiguration is not necessarily the changing of a person as much as people discovering who we really are. I wonder if that voice from the clouds is all around us all the time. Whether across the street, at the breakfast table, on our car radio, in traffic, on Gulf to Bay, a text message, an email, a letter, a book, a mountaintop, a walk on the beach, a street corner in Louisville or Clearwater, all around us. And I wonder if Jesus, after discovering the light of God in his own life, isn't trying to tell us the same thing when he says things like, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God is in me, and I am in you, and we are in God." I wonder if this is why that voice from the cloud says, "Listen to him." And I wonder if we just don't hear or see until we're ready to know that each and every one of us is infused with the Spirit of God. The very force and energy and imagination of all creation. Each and every one of us is filled with the Spirit of creation. We are filled with God. And I wonder if our lives are layered and encumbered with so many different voices telling us who we are or who we're supposed to be, that we fail to hear that one voice coming from the clouds that says, "Hey, why so depressed? Cheer up, because you are walking around shining like the sun, filled with the Spirit of God." Amen. My friends, author and speaker Marianne Williamson tells us, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We are meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Cheer up. Cheer up. And go out of here and know that you are shining like the sun. Amen.